It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. And it's time now for our sit down with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. It's brought to you by EcoTree Services, your complete tree care company, and by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Rosie, what a wild first week of the season. So great to have you on. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Bull. And, oh, you're right. They jumped right in and have had some really good games and fun stuff happening, so it's been good.
And the start so far, fantastic for the Tribe because they have beaten some very good teams early in the season. Since our last conversation, Rosie, the starting pitching has just been terrific. And they've made some pretty darn good lineups look a little silly. Safe to say that that particular unit has been the most impressive so far?
Absolutely, and it's given them a chance to head into play tonight 5-2. You know, there's probably some games that they would have lost had the starting pitching not been as good. So it's funny, you know, we talk all winter, I think, about what we think will happen and where the strengths may be, and I think everybody pointed to good starting pitching. I don't know, though, that we thought it was going to be this good when you looked at it, and it really is, you know, it's record-breaking in certain areas. Shane Bieber has been absolutely tremendous, but everyone else has fallen in line right behind him and been really good, too. So it's been fun to watch. And, you know, I know Terry Francona has talked about it over the years. If you don't have good pitching and you have to outslug people, you can win some games, but it's a hard way to do it. When you have good pitching, you're in every game, and it doesn't take much to come out with one more run than the other team. And I think the Indians are living by that, you know, through this first week or so of the season.
And I know that you and Hammy talked about this during the broadcast a couple of nights ago. It was something that Hammy and Tito had discussed during Indians warm-up, too, about the efficiency with the first pitch strikes. And one of the things you and Hammy talked about two nights ago I thought was really interesting. It's not just throwing a get-em-over fastball to get ahead, nothing, and one of the count. I think that's one of the unique abilities for all these Indian starting pitchers. They're not just throwing fastballs to get ahead in the count. Rosie, it seems like they're using the entire arsenal to get ahead.
Yeah, and that's the key. You keep hitters off balance, but you know, you still have to throw that off-speed stuff for strikes to get ahead of the hitter. And if you can do that, especially in a count where they're not expecting it, boom, right away you're ahead. And then they're thinking, well, what comes next? So it really has been a key to their success, the first pitch strikes, and just control in general. The walk numbers are phenomenal because there are very few. It's hard to find a walk. And if you live that way as a starting pitcher, you're going to pitch deep into games and have a lot of success.
And so far, they have been pitching very deep into games, and it's taken at least a little bit of pressure off of that bullpen. We'll come back around to that unit here in just a little bit. But, Rosie, yesterday you spoke with James Harris, Tribe Farm Director, on Indians warm-up, and I enjoyed the conversation, finding out about the kinds of guys that they're taking a closer look at the satellite site over in Lake County. What were some of your major takeaways from that conversation in regards to how they're handling things out there in Eastlake?
Well, they're trying to make it, I wouldn't say as normal a game day as possible, but they're trying to play games that would kind of simulate a minor league season. And bear in mind, there's not enough players over there to fill two full squads, so they have to be creative and don't always have, you know, you might have a game where there's only two outfielders or a left side of the infield, that type of thing. But the key is the pitchers are facing hitters and vice versa in a competitive situation, and that's what's really important. And then around those simulated games in the mornings, they're doing all the drill work that you normally would do maybe in a spring training setting or at the minor league level. Those guys come out early and they take extra ground balls. They work on their outfield play. They work on their base running. There's a lot of extra instructors over there, because there's some young kids over there. There's kids over there who will not see the light of day in the big leagues this year. And then there's others who are very much on that taxi squad, so to speak, that can be called upon on a moment's notice. So they're trying to manage both of those dynamics over there, and it sounds like they're doing a great job with it.
And that's going to be a really intriguing follow through the rest of the year, because you're right, you have a lot of guys in there that aren't necessarily on the big league radar, but they're certainly on the organizational radar and will be when spring training rolls around next year too. And that's a golden opportunity for a lot of those guys to state their case that their time should come sooner as opposed to later. So that should be a really intriguing follow through the rest of the year. Rosie, I know a couple of days ago you spoke with Cam Hill on Indians warm-up, and he really is an incredible story, a guy that has really had an interesting path to the big leagues, and it looks like he's going to be counted on pretty heavily in the bullpen.
He could be. There's no question about that. He comes in with a lot of confidence. He believes in his stuff, and sometimes that's half the battle. And you mentioned his path. We've made a lot about that 2016 draft with Shane Bieber, Aaron Civale, and Zach Plesac. And this guy, Cam Hill, was a teammate of theirs in the minor leagues, and he also played a little bit on rehab assignments with Mike Clevenger, and some others too. And I think there's a part of him that thought, you know, if he didn't get hurt in 2018, maybe he could have been here at the same time as those guys a year ago or 2 years ago in the case of Bieber. But it didn't work out that way. But the flip side is, those have been teammates that he stayed in touch with. They've helped him get through some difficult times in terms of his rehab and getting back. And it's helped him now. He really feels like he belongs, even though he's a rookie in the major leagues. He's running into teammates that he's had in the minor leagues. So it's a comfortable situation for him. And again, he just feels like he belongs. It's his time. And then he's trying to make the most of it and stay here. And not go back. And you look at his stuff and his makeup, and there's a pretty good chance he could be a big part of the pen before it's all said and done.
Again, we're speaking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our chats with Rosie are brought to you by Eco Tree Services, your complete tree care company, and by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Well, he's part of a bullpen that came into a little bit of question and some criticism at the beginning of the year. But, Rosie, by and large, you know, that particular group has pitched pretty darn well. I know Brad Hand had a rough night a couple of nights ago in the finale against the White Sox, and James Karinchak, despite getting the loss, still pitched pretty well in the series against the Kansas City Royals. There was the international tiebreaker rule that came into effect. He gets tagged with the L despite not surrendering a hit. And Karinchak is a guy, I think, that has certainly emerged in that group. And you never totally know how a guy is going to adapt to a particular role, but Rosie, Karinchak has pitched in some very high-leverage situations so far this season. Evidence of that last night in a 2-0 game against a very good Twins lineup. Hard not to like what we're seeing from James Karinchak so far.
Yeah, he'll be a big part of it too. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure the question will come up today. I was kind of surprised it didn't come up last night after the game. What do you do going forward? And I will say, I think Tito addressed it before the game when talking about Brad Hand. Hand was unavailable last night. They didn't want to pitch him three games in a row. But he said you can't run from a closer because he has a bad game. And really, the game where he allowed the runs, there was one hard hit ball, the leadoff double, and then some goofy stuff. There was a catcher's interference. He hit a guy. It just was an inning that unraveled in a hurry. But he didn't feel like he got hit that hard. So they'll go back to Hand as the closer. Do they adjust down the road if he does labor as he did in the second half of the season? Sure, they'll take a look at that. But they're not going to do that yet, because Brad Hand has a long track record of success in that role. And there's something to be said. We've seen so many pitchers who have good stuff, who are lights out in that middle relief or setup role, but you ask them to go get the last three outs in the ball game, and it's a whole different story, and they don't have success. Brad Hand knows his way around a save. And so he'll be in that role unless it just continues to be a struggle for him. But I don't think it will be. I think he's going to be okay.
Well, and it's a what have you done for me lately society that we live in, too, right? I think we have recency bias, and people forget just how great he has been. But that unit altogether, you know, we've talked about three guys in Brad Hand and James Karinchak and Cam Hill. There are some unsung heroes in this group, too, Rosie. I think when you watch a game, we're so reliant on what these guys can do in high leverage situations. But, you know, if they're not closing, they're not necessarily household names. I tell you what, between Wickren, Perez, and a few others, there have been some guys who have done their jobs very, very nicely in that bullpen.
Yeah, and you know what, Bull, you mentioned those names, and Tito just has a way of working a bullpen where he puts pitchers in situations where they can succeed. Now, sometimes you can't do that just on the way the game is going, but you know, in so many situations, he's able to put them in a good spot where they can have success, pitch to their strengths, and then you have a good bullpen. We saw it most of last season. The bullpen, I think, to the surprise of a lot of people, at this the end of the season, was one of the better bullpens ERA-wise in baseball. So he's doing it again, and there's pitchers off to good starts, and it'll be interesting to see, because he's mixing in some new pitchers in there, and Karinchak and Hill, and Dominic Leon is another one who's gotten some appearances here early. And it'll be interesting to see how they fare as they go through the ups and downs of a season.
Well, so far, Sandy Leon has certainly held his own behind the dish, but I think it goes without saying that the Indians certainly do miss Roberto Perez. That injury is going to keep him on the shelf for at least a little while. Any idea how long they think he's going to be out, and is this a shoulder injury that we should be worried about?
I think anytime it's a shoulder, there's concern. There has not been an update since the injury was initially announced, and at that time, they were just going to have him not throw for about a week and then have him head over to Lake County and start to build up again. And it didn't sound like they thought it would be an extended period of time. I know traditionally the Indians and their training staff has erred on the side of caution, so I don't think you'll see him come back sooner than expected, but I don't know. It, the way they made it sound, if he doesn't throw for a week, maybe he ramps up for a couple of days, maybe it's a 10-day to 2-week thing that they're working with Perez.
And certainly something we'll keep our eyes on for sure, because, I mean, it goes far beyond what he can do at the dish. It's behind the dish handling that pitching staff where we all know he has such incredible value for sure. Rosie, only a week into the season, but there have been a couple of surprises in your mind. Have there been one or two that kind of come to the forefront of your mind?
You know what, Bull? I can sound bad based on what we talked about earlier. To me, the starting pitching, and I don't say that from the standpoint of, you know, if you had said the Indians would be 5-2 and Bieber would have a couple of wins and Plesac and Savali, sure, absolutely. But I think that the way they've gone deep into games, the fact that no one's pitched less than 6 innings yet, but they haven't been overly taxed in terms of their pitch count, you know, and they really haven't had that many innings where they've just been on the ropes, you know, and working out of jams, working out of the stretch. So that part of it, the dominance of the starting pitching has been a surprise to me, just because you didn't know what to expect with the short buildup. But I think it's pretty clear that group did tremendous work during the COVID shutdown downtime, and came in prepared and ready to go. So that would be it for me. And I know that's crazy because you expect the starting pitching to be good. I just, to pitch as deep as they are in the games and have this kind of success has been surprising even for that group to me.
No, I think that's very fair, especially when you consider, you know, they haven't scored a ton of runs. I think you and Hammy mentioned it on the broadcast last night that they're averaging right around 4 runs a game. And when you think about the teams that they've played, I know Kansas City, certainly not world beaters, but the top half of that lineup, certainly not too shabby. And I think we all know what the White Sox and the Twins can do, that's for sure. Well, the Indians will face the Twins a little bit later on tonight. You can hear Rosie on Indians warm-up beginning at 7:35. This evening. Rosie, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to catching up again next week.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, that's Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our Chats with Rosie brought to you by Eco Tree Services, your complete tree care company, and by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We need to break. Rocco Nucci and I will return after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.